ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You're listening to The Country Hour on ABC Radio South Australia and Broken Hill.
Well, hello, good afternoon, and a very happy Friday to you. Selena Green bringing you The Country Hour again today. Have you been on the lookout for some farming property to snap up this past year? Or maybe you are looking to sell? Well, the number of farms going on the market across the country actually declined in 2023, but median values have again climbed for the eighth consecutive year. I'll take a deeper dive into property sales in just a moment. And then a very special program today, because I will take you live to day one of Ag Fair, which is underway in Broken Hill. You'll hear from some graziers about how they're travelling. I'm always happy to hear how you're travelling. If you feel inspired to get in touch with me today, my talkback number is 1300 222 891, or the text line 0467 922 891. Well, farm values, they climbed another 12% across Australia in the past year, even as less farms went on the market. Well, Elders has released its latest rural property update, recording a strong finish to 2023 after an initial fall in prices. According to this report, rural property prices will double every 7 years if the current long-term growth rates continue to compound. Elders Farmland Agency and Agribusiness Investments Manager Mark Barber told me it shows long-term confidence in the rural property market.
Overall, it's been a good year. We've seen a national median price per hectare rise by 12%. That's year on year, and that's added to the sort of five-year compound growth rate of 10.1%. So, you know, if you look at it from a whole-of-year perspective, it's been really good. There was a few factors that created a bit of sort of uncertainty or lack of confidence in the market earlier in the year, with the concerns around the emergence of another El Nino and potentially going into dry period. You know, we had livestock prices hit some sort of what turned out to be probably some pretty serious volatility, but, you know, they're starting to recover. So that sort of shook confidence around a bit, which saw the sort of the first half of the year probably soften a little bit, which probably was due more to a change in the mix of properties coming onto the market. But look, we've seen a very strong recovery. Property prices are good. The other thing that's probably worth noting is we've seen a continuation in the decline of properties actually on the market. So the liquidity in the market's been pretty soft quarter on quarter for some time now, which means that, you know, property owners are probably pretty confident about the long-term prospects for the sector.
So the median price, as you mentioned there, has gone up. So what is that sitting at around now?
Look, it's $8,625 a hectare. But look, the more important thing is the trend, that the actual value per hectare is perhaps just an indicator of where things are moving, rather than this sort of any sort of measure of absolute value, because we know land values vary enormously, you know, from land types and land uses and geographies and things like that. So it's really used as an indicator.
So as you mentioned, that annual growth rate, 10%, if that keeps going, I think that works out to what, a double every 7 years of prices?
Yes, that's right. Land prices would double every 10 years if we maintained a capital average growth rate of 10%. It's just a shade over 10%, at 10.1%. So, you know, it's a very good result and demonstrates the long-term value of an investment in agricultural land.
And I guess interesting, as you say, there was sort of that early on period where confidence was quite shaken, that I think once people sort of got a grasp on what was happening and things perhaps didn't look as dire as they had early on, things rallied. So always with property, there's ups and downs, but that just shows how quickly things can bounce back after a dip.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you look at the factors that perhaps undermined a bit of confidence earlier in the year, they were, you know, there were sort of seasonal conditions which can turn around. And it wasn't even, I mean, there were certainly some dry areas in Australia. There's no doubt about that. But we weren't in a long-term prolonged drought. There was certainly some dry areas, and the forecasts were not great. So people were looking at those longer-term forecasts you know, the national flock and herd were pretty high. So they were saying, well, you know, if we're going into a longer term dry period with livestock numbers fairly high, we probably should try and quit some stock. Everyone started doing that, drive the prices down. But, you know, if you look at the long-term fundamentals, we're still exporting record numbers of beef and lamb. You know, crop prices are sound. We're still very competitive on world markets. We also started to, toward the back end of the year, see a little bit of that inflation pressure on costs start to ease. So farmers' terms of trade sort of started to turn around, which boosted confidence. But I think most landholders take a longer-term view, and their response was, perhaps I'm not going to sell now, I might hold off, or I'm just going to, you know, continue to invest in agricultural land because it's a good store of wealth.
Are there particular types of property or enterprises that have been doing quite well in terms of demand and prices?
Despite that sort of dip in confidence, across our network, we certainly saw good quality properties presented well to the market in locations that were sought after still perform extremely well. You know, we had you know, sales that did exceed expectations through that period, often where it was family farms looking to expand, and properties that they were looking at that don't come onto the market very, very often, you know, they competed strongly for. We certainly saw a lot of corporate and institutional investment money flowing through, and there was still a lot of demand for from that end of the market as well for quality assets. You know, those types of properties certainly continued to perform very well.
And Mark, if you look at a state-by-state basis, has it been pretty consistent across the country, or are there some states that have outperformed others?
It's been pretty consistent across the country. You know, Queensland performed very well, Vic performed well. Well, we had a very strong result in Tasmania, but you got to treat some of those states with a bit of some of that movement with a bit of caution, because, you know, a small state that's thinly traded, you know, some trades can have a big impact. South Australia was pretty solid. Yeah, it was pretty good across the board. The other thing that was quite interesting is that the volume of sales was down consistently across most states as well, except in Tassie we saw a little bit of an uptick there.
And what's your, you know, looking into your crystal ball, is this looking like this is a trend likely to continue to this year?
Yeah, I think we'll see, you know, good fundamentals in the property market this year. You know, terms of trade for farmers are looking pretty good. You know, demand for the types of commodities we produce globally look sound, provided we get good seasonal conditions, or, you know, even average seasonal conditions. I think we'll see, you know, continued strong demand for rural property. I cannot see anything that will bring a lot of properties onto the market that will increase supply. So for fund managers who want to deploy money, and for family farms that want to expand, they'll have to compete pretty strongly for land. We'll also, I think, see potentially a flattening, or even maybe an easing of interest rates toward the end of the year, or certainly evidence that they will start to ease toward the end of the year. So that'll add a bit of momentum to property prices. But I think, look, it'll be probably a continuation of the sort of last two quarters of last year into this year.
That was Elders Farmland Agency and Agribusiness Investments Manager Mark Barber speaking there. That latest rural property update was released this week.
If healthy living is your thing, the ABC Listen app has all the podcasts. Try the health report.
These are ultra-processed products, and if you compare the calories,
you might also like What's That Rash?
You're talking about zits.
Teenagers love to go.
Or Life Matters.
Love online after 50. It took me 18 months to download my first dating app.
Get your health kicks anywhere, anytime with the ABC Listen app.
You're listening to Selena Green on ABC Radio South Australia and Broken Hill.
Where it's just going on 14 minutes past 12, and right now in Broken Hill, Ag Fair is underway, day one. Brooke Neindorf and Lily McCure there. Good afternoon, happy Friday.
G'day, Selena. Happy Friday to you as well. It is a very good Friday because I am lucky enough to be here in beautiful Broken Hill for my very first Ag Fair. It's great to be able to get along to here. I've been to quite a few field days over my many years here with ABC Rural, but it's great to be able to get on to Ag Fair. And a big thank you to Lily McCure, the rural reporter here in Broken Hill, who's welcomed me here and shown me the ropes and introduced me to a lot of people that we hear often on the Country Hour, but it's nice to meet people face-to-face. Lily, your first Ag Fair as well.
Yes, it is. It's very nice to have you here, Brooke. It's my first Ag Fair, and it's very good to be here. There's a lot going on. There's sheep, there's cattle, there's goats. The smell of food is wafting around pretty frequently.
I'm definitely looking forward to 1 o'clock because there's a lot of food where we're looking forward to what we're going to have for lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a cooking demonstration going on behind us. Yeah, it's all happening.
It is. And so, your first Ag Fair, what were you expecting when you heard that we were coming along?
I guess, you're typical, you've got tractors and machinery, people trying to sell those, people showing off their studs and, their livestock. There's even choppers flying over. And then I guess just a lot of people off the land that are, keen to catch up with others and see what's happening in town.
I was talking to some farmers who are with Merino SA here in the tent here. Merino producers and from the Eyre Peninsula, and they were sort of talking about how it's obviously different to what we see at the Eyre Peninsula field days and the York Peninsula field days, because those field days you might see more of the headers and the Eyre seeders and things like that are probably not needed around here as yeah. much as what they are in South Australia. So it is a different but also similar feel, and it's a good chance for everyone to be able to catch up.
Absolutely. There's not a lot of cropping going on out here, but yeah, a lot of sheep and just people happy to get out and be in town, even though there's a little bit of rain, but they've made it.
The sun is out at the moment. We're going to hear a little bit more about that with their first guest today. Terry Smith is a local grazier in the region. He's also president of the Pastoralist Association of the West Darling, vice president of Ag Fair, plus many other roles to his name in the community. Welcome to the Country Hour, Terry.
Good afternoon, Brooke. Good afternoon, Lily. How are we going?
Very well, thanks. How's Ag Fair been so far today?
Mate, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's we've got a pretty good crowd coming through the gates by the looks. The weather's been kind to us. There has been rain around, but town has dodged a bullet this time. So, and the sun was out. It seemed like a nice day when I was out there before. The usual, I guess, the Friday morning jitters is a bit going on, but we're getting on top of that and. Yeah, moving forwards, and as you said, the cooking demonstrations going on in the background here with Sophie seems to be a hit. Had the butchering going on earlier with Alison, which is great. I haven't actually been around the site completely this morning. I've been doing a few other odd jobs, but no, it looks to be going really well. And as you all said, the food smells amazing, so I'm a bit peckish myself.
Well, we won't hold you up for too long, so you can go and grow something to eat. How long have you been involved in Ag Fair?
I think I started around 2010 was my first Ag Fair, so 14 years, and just, yeah, came along, got involved and had a bit of fun. It's a big week for sure, but it's a good thing, good for town, and it's good to see so many people supporting us this year.
How important is it to have something like this for the region?
I think it's great. Like, it was the biggest sort of thing in Broken Hill every couple of years. Obviously the bash is now here, which is fantastic for town, but it's a great opportunity for everyone to come to town, the social event, to have a look at any innovation that may be going on. We've got four or five heavy machinery distributors here this year, which is great. Lots of big shiny things for people to go and look at, fiddle around with, have a talk to someone, and just have a catch up, have a social. There's plenty of things going on around town as well. All the motels are booked out, so it's great. And there has been some rain around while people are in town, which is always good.
You mentioned the rain. Have you heard many tallies? Obviously, you've been running around. You've got a lot of hats on today, but have you heard from property owners about any rain they've had?
Yeah, I have. There's sort of been 15 to 40 mils north of town. Sort of Fowler's Gap way, I believe that Tibberborough Road was closed. I believe it's open now with caution. A couple of creeks running down towards Ivanhoe. There's sort of been 20 to 30 mils out that way as well. Again, following the pattern we've had, it's quite patchy. So I guess that's not ideal for those people who are, because there are still guys that are looking for a good break. A few lambs starting to hit the ground and stuff like that, so everyone's sort of looking for a bit of green feed. But those that have got it, I think, are pretty happy that they have. Never knock it back. So, yeah, and as I said earlier, it's thankful that it hasn't been over the site as yet.
And did anyone sort of get stuck behind, you know, those creekways that fill up? There are some people planning on coming into Ag Fair, but, you know, made it a bit later?
Well, actually, at our pastoralist pavilion, we have a guess the weight of the goat, and the goat was stuck on the goat and the goat handler were stuck on a wet road this morning, so they were a little bit late to sight. I think most people with that sort of storm rain, you know, it's quick, it's gone, and with everything being reasonably dry, you know, I'd expect by this afternoon most roads will be open or passable, and hopefully anyone who got stuck on the other side of it will be able to make it in for a good Saturday.
Absolutely. And are we going to see that goat at some stage?
The goat's about 50 metres down that way if you want to go and guess the weight of the goat. A gold coin donation going to a good cause. The goat is here. I'm not sure what the goat's called this year. Last year it was Sir Goat-a-Lot, but Sir Goat-a-Lot has been retired. Yeah. And we have a new goat, thanks to the Gall family from Langawirra. It's a good thing, and it's a good conversation starter to have a goat just there randomly. But that said, I think we have over 50 studs here with sheep, goats and cattle this year, which is one of the biggest roll-ups of stock we've had in a long time. So that's also good to see that industry is, you know, it's our main industry. So we've got the support here, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And I imagine this is sort of a long-awaited calendar event. It only happens every 2 years. I mean, what does it mean for the people that get out from their properties, come into town and, you know, are seeing people that they might not have seen in a while?
I'd say in a lot of cases it's probably been 2 years since they've seen him from last Ag Fair. Yeah, it's a really good event to get out and catch up with a lot of people you don't always see. It seems that everyone seems to be busier these days, and I know that everyone says that a lot. But it's just a good chance to get out and have a bit of a social, have a catch up, swap a few yarns about your lambing or your rain or the lack thereof. Hang it on your neighbour if you've got more rain than they have, that sort of stuff. It's just a really good event, and a lot of people come from a long way to support it, so it's great to see.
We're speaking with Terry Smith, the local grazier here at Ag Fair. He's also the vice president of the Ag Fair and the president as well of the Pastoralist Association of the West Darling. Now, Terry, we're going to go to the next generation in the second half of the program, your daughter Annabelle. She just seems about as busy as what you are with everything that she's involved with. But, her coming through and also your son George, it must be promising that they're keen to be involved so much in the industry, but also things like Ag Fair.
Yeah, it is. It's really refreshing to see Annabelle and George and a few of the other young lads this morning and girls tearing around, giving a hand on the gates and cruising around in buggies. I think this morning there was 3 or 4 sheep escaped down the back, so some young legs was definitely handy down there to corner them. I think Ag Fair is probably like almost every other event where we really struggle for volunteers on a basis. And when I joined 14 years ago, I was the youngest guy on the committee, and I think I still am. it's good to see that they get out and about and hopefully have a bit of a taste for it, and we can hand the baton on for the grazing and for the field day side of it down the track, because all these things require people to run them, and it's really good to get those guys involved and make it a bit of fun, and they're having a ball, I think, by the looks of it. So yeah.
And we're going to speak to Annabelle about this a little bit later, but she's been doing a bit of butchering with butcher girl Alison Mayer, who was here. Does she obviously helps out with that on the property?
Yeah, she does. She's sort of been interested in it since she was about 3, I think, is the first time I can remember her coming over to the pen and helping me slaughter a sheep. She's quite capable of doing that on her own and also breaking one up, which is good, because Dad can be away and I can ring up and say, there's a killer in the cool room, do you want to cut it up? And it's all those, I guess it's all just life skills, but it's some of those things. If they're interested in it, absolutely, go for it. And I think that's what part of growing up on a farm is all about, is get in the workshop and make a mess and probably get in trouble from Dad sometimes for not putting the tools away, but yeah, they've got to have a go anyway, so yeah, it's good. It's great.
Definitely. It's and we had some very efficient young blokes on the gate this morning scanning our tickets. They were very enthusiastic, which is great to see, and I'm sure we'll see them at many more ag fairs to come. Terry Smith, thanks very much for your time on the Country Hour today.
No, thanks a lot for supporting us, and thanks for your time.
Terry Smith, local grazier and president of the Pastoralists Association of the West Darling, vice president of Ag Fair. We could have talked to him about so many more things and how the season's looking, but we are heading up to weather, so we'll take you back to Selena Green for what's happening with the Bureau of Meteorology.
Thanks, Brooke, and you'll have to find out what that goat is called. Desperate to know.
I'll find out for you, Selena. We'll send Lily down.
Thanks. Brooke Neindorf and Lily McCure there, coming to you live today from Ag Fair at Broken Hill. And yeah, as I said, we'll cross back there in the second half of the program. But it is 25 minutes past 12, so let's head to the Weather Bureau. Hannah Marsh, hello and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, Selena.
So what's the weather as we round out the week?
Well, we have that trough just lingering near the New South Wales border. And yesterday we saw some thunderstorms, and that resulted in 5.8 millimetres at Port Pirie, 2.6 millimetres at Robertson, and 1.4 millimetres at Bute. That trough has continued to move slowly eastwards, but we are just seeing some isolated shower activity and still the odd strike of thunder through the south of the northeast pastoral district. The showers are also possible through the Riverland today, but that will contract out to the east and clear tomorrow. Having a look at some of the temperatures that it's been up to so far today, it's been up to 19 degrees at Ceduna and Port Lincoln, 20 at Whyalla, 21 at Cooper Pedy, 23 at Utnadatta and Woomera, 18 with those showers at Broken Hill, 19 at Renmark, 20 at Clare, 16 at Mount Lofty, 15 at Hindmarsh Island, 20 at Kingscote and 19 at Mount Gambier. And I should mention, other than that cloud and showers in the east, really we're looking at dry conditions and not much cloud around for the remainder of the state. We did have some low cloud and fog through parts of the West Coast District earlier this morning. That has now cleared. As we head into the weekend, our weather is still dominated by this high pressure system to the southeast, and that's resulting in our dry conditions. So there's just a slight chance of seeing a few showers near the New South Wales border tomorrow. Otherwise, we're looking at dry conditions again. The maximum temperatures will be near to slightly above average in the south, and we're looking at slightly below average temperatures in the northeast of the state. Again, we're looking at a cold start in parts with possible frost and fog patches, and the winds will be southeasterly, but they will tend northeasterly in the west. So having a look at some of the temperatures for tomorrow, we're looking at 23 for Ceduna, 21 at Port Lincoln and Whyalla, 23 also at Cooper Pedy, 25 at Utnadatta and Woomera, 18 with a shower or two for Broken Hill, 23 at Renmark, 20 for Clare, 21 at Mount Barker, 20 for Victor Harbour, 22 at Kingscote and 20 also at Mount Gambier. Then as we head into Sunday, we're looking at pretty similar conditions, those cold starts and then the temperatures around the 20 degree mark in the south, grading to 20 to 25 further north. And similarly on Monday and Tuesday, but our best chance of seeing any rainfall will come from midweek, and it is a little bit hard to say at this stage with the models being a little bit inconsistent, but at this stage it's looking like we could see some showers developing in the second half of next week.
All right, well, wait and see with that. Hannah, thanks for that. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Hannah Marsh there from the Weather Bureau. So let's take a look at the forecast for the western inland parts of New South Wales for tomorrow. The Upper Western District, partly cloudy. Chance of morning fog in the northwest. A high chance of showers in the east. A slight chance elsewhere. There's a chance of a thunderstorm. Light winds becoming south to southeasterlies, 15 to 25 k's an hour throughout the morning. For the Lower Western District, also partly cloudy. There's a very, very high chance of showers in the northeast. A medium chance elsewhere. And there's a chance of a thunderstorm. thunderstorm in the northeast as well. Light winds becoming southeasterlies around 15 to 25 k's now throughout the morning and then becoming light again by the evening. Overnight temperatures for both districts around 11 degrees. During the day, they should get up to between 17 and 22 degrees. It's coming up to 12:30 here on the Country Hour. We'll cross back to Agfair at Broken Hill in this next half an hour, but also meet a Riverland grower who has swapped a more traditional crop for an emerging crop of medicinal cannabis, and they're ready to harvest their first crop. We'll take an exclusive tour of that coming up.
You're listening to The Country Hour. For more stories from across the country, go to abc.net.au/rural. On ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill, this is Selena Green. Selena Green.
Good afternoon. Great to have your company today. And you've probably by now heard a lot about the challenging situation facing a lot of growers in the state's Riverland. It means that some are turning away from more traditional crops and instead planting something rather new. For one grower, that means the switch from citrus to medicinal cannabis.
Even though the plant does grow fast, it's been a long journey to get to this point. But exciting now, we're pulling down and we're going all down into the clean rooms and, you know, and preparing the product, ready to be, depacked, go out to pharmacies.
So in a moment, you'll get an exclusive sneak peek into one of the country's biggest outdoor cannabis crops. Also in this next half an hour, I'm going to head to Broken Hill and meet some of the folks at today's massive ag fair. But you'll have to wait for all of that until we get news headlines from Matt Coleman. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Selena. In the news this afternoon, the Liberal Party has launched a Report Your Road campaign, which includes a website and text line where motorists can capture and submit photos of roads in bad condition. The opposition leader, David Speirs, says the information will be used to lobby the government and to inform opposition policy ahead of the next election. The Transport Minister, Tom Koutsantonis, says that the Liberal Party's decision in 2020 to privatise maintenance contracts is a significant reason behind the bad conditions. A third-generation Riverland citrus grower has started to harvest his first crop of sun-grown medicinal cannabis. There are 50 licensed cultivators in Australia looking to supply domestic demand, as roughly 80% of the supply is imported from overseas. Brad Gallard says it's taken 5 years for the operation to become profitable. And 80 of Australia's wheelchair rugby athletes will be competing in Adelaide this weekend for a place at the Paris Paralympic Games. The Wheelchair Rugby National Championships will be hosted at the Netball Stadium as the selection event for the Australian Steelers team. The competition is the largest annual wheelchair rugby event in the Southern Hemisphere. More news at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Coleman with those headlines. Well, yes, it's a big couple of days in Broken Hill. Ag Fair is underway. It's day one, and there are our reporters, Lily McCure and Brooke Neindorf. Hello.
Hello, Selena. Yes, we are here at Ag Fair in Broken Hill. The sun is out. There was a little bit of rain overnight. Some stations have between 15 and 40 millimetres. Some have got stuck, but hopefully they'll get through soon as it dries up a little bit. I'm here with Lily McCure. And Lily, you had a job that we just sent you running off to do when you were on listening to the news heads. You had to go and find out what the name of a goat was that's down the other end of this tent. We're here in the wool shed. Tell us about this goat.
Yes, so I just ran down to the Pastoralists Association tent. They've got a bit of a goat comp, and it's a guess the weight of the goat. They've got it in a little pen there, so for people to walk past and have a go. There's a bit of a prize pool, and the goat's name is George.
George. So tell us about George. So people can guess his weight.
Yes, so people can go in, guess the weight of George, and they donate a little bit of money as well. So, they can do that all day. George is going to be there.
You just went and saw George. How much do you think he weighs?
Oh, well, he's a lot smaller than I thought. I thought he would be a little bit fatter. I'm going to say 40.
40 kilos.
Yeah.
All right, that's your guess. Next guess is nodding here along with 40 kilos. So Speaking of our next guest, earlier in the program we heard from grazier Terry Smith. Now we're going to hear from the next generation in his daughter, Annabelle Smith. 17-year-old Annabelle joins us on the program today. Annabelle, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, when the Broken Hill team were telling me all about you, Annabelle, they gave me a long list of accomplishments and details about you. They've described you as a workhorse.
Yeah.
You love to get your hands dirty. Is that true?
Yes, yep. Definitely.
You're a terrific horsewoman. Love your horses.
Yeah, I do.
You love to volunteer and help at events like Ag Fair.
Yep.
You love doing that. You've started your own business.
Yes, I have a little business making signs.
Yep, excellent. And there's a whole lot going on. You're also going to school, fitting all that in, you're going to school at Yanko Agriculture College, which is in the Riverina region of New South Wales. What year are you in at school?
Year 12.
Year 12, so yep. Last year?
Last year, last nearly year. Done.
Nearly done. So, and you're back here at Ag Fair now. You're in your school uniform, so yes. Showing off Yanko there. We're also going to hear about some of your butchering that you're doing as well, if we get time. But yep. You're busier than your dad, just about, Annabelle. So you obviously, you just love to fit things in.
I'm just like busy. Him. I'm just like him. He's the same.
What do you love about Ag Fair?
I love talking to everyone because I get to see people that I don't normally see and, get to make more connections within the community and talk to people. It's great. It's a great social occasion.
What do you think what is it about volunteering as a young person that you think is important?
Well, I don't see many young people, especially my age, volunteering. And, Dad's on all these committees in Broken Hill. And he's like, I'm the youngest person. He's the youngest person of all of them. And he's like, we need more young people volunteering in our community. Otherwise all these events just die. So I love being here, helping out and, running the show. Not really, but...
One day you might be running the show for sure.
Yes.
And, Annabelle, your dad mentioned that you showed an interest in butchering at around the age of 3.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
So he loves to tell, I don't remember, but he loves to tell the story about me being 3 years old and just helping him, butcher sheep, just standing there poking it with the knife. We've refined our skills a little bit more since then, and now I can break up a lamb on my own, and I can, he kills it, but I can deal with it after it's dead, pretty much skin it and gut it nearly on my own. It's a bit heavy sometimes, but yeah.
And did your dad teach you those skills?
Yes, he did. And butcher girl Alison, who's here working, I did some work placement with her with a business she knows a few years ago, and I just loved it. And there it was in Melbourne, and she set me up with it, and it was great. So, yeah.
And is this something that you want to continue on in the future? I mean, it's a great life skill to have.
I would like to go into veterinary science next year, but I definitely would love to keep working on my butchering skills, and it's just a great skill to have if you're out in the country and you need to get your own meat. Yeah.
Is it something that you're seeing a lot more young females wanting to get involved in that side of things?
I think so, yeah. Or definitely a lot more young females that are interested in it. For sure.
And how important is it to be able to have that skill on a property
out here? So important. We have all our own lamb that we don't go and buy lamb. We hardly buy meat really anymore because we've always got a freezer full of lamb, and it's the best thing, being knowing where your meat's come from.
And among all these things that you're doing, I've heard that you can shear a sheep pretty well. How about that?
So I actually learnt to shear at school. They run a shearing school there every year in October. So when I was in year 9, I learnt to shear. And yeah, I'm all right. I'm not great, but I'm all right. And Dad has also helped me with that and taught me a lot of that as well, which has been great. But
is it pretty hard to shear a full sheep?
It can be, especially if they're not really cooperating and they're kicking around a bit. But it's I do all right with lambs and smaller sheep. Big ewes give me a bit of a challenge sometimes, but yeah, it's all right.
And do you ride horses?
Yes, I do, a bit.
What do you like about riding?
Oh, it's great. It's just being out in the open, and I love handling animals and training animals. So, yeah, it's great.
And at school, are you able to ride your horses and do all these things?
Yeah, so I've had my horse at school. I don't have it there at the moment, but I've had a school since year 8 nearly, and I get to ride every afternoon. It's great.
You mentioned you want to get into veterinary science. We hear a lot of stories about, concerns with those in the vet industry and the mental health issues. Is that something that you look at and still are keen to get involved?
I am. I am still definitely keen to get involved, even hearing about all that. I'm a bit wary of it. I'm like, I need to be careful if I get into this and really look after myself, because I hear so many stories about, especially rural vets, meeting really tragic ends. But No, I still am very keen to get into it and work out in the country and help, like, work with large animals mostly.
And I guess you've probably seen vets have come to your property or helped you out and you know, how much they're needed.
Yeah, definitely. The flying vet, Amelia Scott, who's around Broken Hill, I love her. She's a great inspiration to me, and she comes out home and deals with my horses, so it's great.
Okay,
yeah.
Speaking of flying vet, have you got your flying licence, the pilot's licence yet?
No, not yet.
Is that something
I'm working
on?
It, yep.
Working on it? Just another thing on your list?
Yeah, pretty much.
And just finally, Annabelle, like, you touched on this a bit before, but what do you love about Ag Fair? What do you love about coming home and getting out here?
Oh, I just love being out here and seeing people, and it's such a, especially in this pavilion, but it's such a vibe in this pavilion, such an atmosphere. So, yeah, I just love it, being amongst it.
And we haven't even got, well, you mentioned your business as well before. You're making iron signs. I saw you carrying one in for someone before,
yes.
So that's just a little side hobby as well.
Yeah, I've only just started that in the last few weeks. I've always had a bit of a love of welding and working with steel like that, and I've, yeah, just started a business, so it's pretty cool.
I think it's a name we're going to be hearing a lot more on the Country Hour in years to come and involved with Ag Fair. Annabelle Smith, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
That was Annabelle Smith. She's from a local grazing family around here in Broken Hill. She volunteers at Ag Fair. She's a shearer. She's a horsewoman. She's got her own sign business. She is into butchering. Lily, that's a great young person that's coming through in the industry.
Absolutely. I think half of those skills I can't do, so I've got my inspo right here.
I don't think half. I think all of those skills
of
I can't
do.
I can't fly a plane. I can't shear a sheep. I can't butcher a sheep.
No.
I could ride a horse if I have to, but I wouldn't be good at it.
But I think we're going to have to get some lessons from Butcher Girl Alison maybe after
we
this.
We might have to, yeah, definitely. It's been great watching her do a demonstration. She's got another one coming up at 1 o'clock, so if you are heading to Ag Fair, you'll be able to see Butcher Girl Alison Mayer cutting up some meat on stage. And yeah, we are here at Ag Fair, Brooke Neindorf and Lily McCure. It is coming up to 19 minutes to 1.
Are you an early career PhD researcher, or do you know someone who is? Then there's only a short time left to apply for the ABC Top 5. This is a unique opportunity for outstanding scientists, humanities academics, artists and cultural researchers to spend 2 weeks with the ABC, learning about the media and communicating your amazing research. Applications close midnight May 5. Just search for ABC Top 5 for full details.
This is ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Brooke Neindorf and Lily McCure with you at Ag Fair in Broken Hill, and it's a beautiful sunny day today. The committee was a little bit worried, Lily, that it might be raining today, which we don't want to scare away the rain. I'm hoping to take some rain back with me to South Australia, and where everyone's trying to get seeding happening at the moment. But at the moment, the site looks like it's clear of rain. So
absolutely, no, it does. And I think there's a few more people floating about. The sun's out, so the people have flocked to Ag Fair.
Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of flocked, you've been checking out a few sites. Leah, tell us about what you've had a look at this afternoon.
I have. So as I was wandering around the Ag Fair site today, I went looking for some wool. And there has been a wool fleece competition. Obviously, a big part of Ag Fairs and Field Days is the livestock and, of course, the wool. The Pastoralist Association of the West Darling has held a wool competition this morning with fleeces from around the district. With me, I have wool judges from Australian Wool Network, Kelvin Shelley, he's a Victorian State Manager for AWN, and Tamara Pabst, Wool Technical Officer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lily.
How are you going?
Yeah, good. Yep. No, today's been a really good event. We've come up here this morning and just conducted our fleece judging. We've just finished it off. We had 28 fleeces in the competition, and they all got individually micron tested this morning as we were loading them. And yeah, so we've just been through and judged fleeces based on trueness to breed, soundness, handle, colour, character and style, density, evenness and a couple of other traits. We've had Avondale come out on top. They had a 15.9 micron fleece, weighed in at 7.5 kilos, so a bit of seasonal variance there. It brought that fleece a bit finer than probably what it usually would do, but that weight certainly carried it through, and the winner has been judged on a commercial value, so that's coming in at $105, so well done to them. They've well and truly earned that. So.
Absolutely. Some impressive results. And is this your first Ag Fair at Broken Hill?
Yeah, my first one. So I've been with AWM for just over 2 years now, and I usually do a few shows a bit further south, down Bendigo way and down to Sheep Bench and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's good to get up here and see the countryside and meet a few different people. So, yeah.
And how does the wool compare to some other Ag Fairs that you've been to?
Probably a bit different VM type. Had a few prickles on the fingers today as we were going through those wools. But, yeah, no, it's good to see how the season's fared up here this year, and, had some different fleeces come through, so... Yeah, it's been good.
Excellent. And Kelvin, where have you come from today?
I travelled up from Geelong last night. So being the Victorian State Manager, I do get around the place quite a bit, into the Riverina, Gippsland, Tasmania, and sometimes into South Australia. So it does work well. You get to see a lot of countryside, but it's great to get up here and definitely catch up with all our clients up here over the next 2 days.
And what were your expectations coming up to Ag Fair? Is this your first one?
No, it's my second one, second Ag Fair. So usually we put a team together to make sure that they all attend, to catch up with clients, and we catch up with them tonight as well. And it's a great experience for everyone that comes here, and you get to meet a lot of people. And I guess it's a little bit of a payback for, I guess, those clients that support us for year in, year out.
And obviously you just said you've travelling around a lot, seeing a lot of wool. How is the wool market at the moment?
Unfortunately, a little bit negative this week. But we have had 2 to 3 weeks before that that were quite positive. So a little bit more drive out of China. India is starting to pick up a little bit. Just negative out of the European markets again at the moment. So world economy, as we all know, quite low at the moment. And I think over time, though, it will build. So good to see the Chinese start to come back in a little bit last week. So to push that on the last day, we picked up a little bit of ground from the losses early in the week. So hopefully we can see less wool on the market over the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks, and hopefully see a little bit more positivity.
And what are you hearing from producers around today? Like, they're pretty happy with how their wool's looking and heading into lambing season?
Actually, they're quite positive considering I think I look at a lot of the areas that I travel, and this area, I know we're talking about a wide area up here, but there's been patchy rain, but there's probably been a fair bit more rain than down south. So most clients that have been into our marquee already today are quite positive. If the rain continues to fall, things are looking quite good on a lambing percentage basis as well. So. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And Tamara, you mentioned that you've been in the job for 2 years, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And is this something that you always wanted to do?
I've always loved sheep and wool, always loved being around it and dealing with the people side of things too. So, yeah, so I sort of came into this job after working on a sheep farm for 3.5 years, and, yeah, it's great. No 2 weeks look the same, sort of down at the auction every week, auctioneering in the room too, and then, yeah, on the road a fair bit, and, yeah, so I really enjoy it. It's a good balance. So.
And did you have... What were your expectations coming up to Ag Fair?
Expectations. That's a good question. I think it's blown my expectations of how big it was. I didn't realise how the size of it. And talking to a few people who've done it before, like, it sounds like it's building momentum too, which is great. So seeing a few more people through the gates. So, yeah, it's positive. Obviously, coming out of COVID, not being able to have that Ag Fair back in 2020, it's, yeah, positive. It's good to see. So.
And are you meeting a lot of people as well today and potential clients, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, we've been tied up a bit this morning with this judging, but, yeah, hopefully get back into the market this afternoon and we'll get to catch up with a few people. So, yeah.
And are you continuing to look at fleeces today, or that's it for the comp?
I've just got a few final things to go through now, take a few photos and, present our prizes and that sort of thing. So, and then we'll head off and, yeah, see the rest of the weekend.
Excellent.
Is it true that it's a record amount of fleeces this year? Did I hear that earlier?
Yeah, there was actually, which was great. We're a little bit worried during the start of the week, I guess, but, yeah, all the clients have come through, and, yeah, it's fantastic for everyone to bring those fleeces through and see the judging this year. Fantastic.
What does it mean for a producer to come in and have their fleeces judged and maybe take home a prize? Does that sort of count towards, you know, what they might be doing into the future? Can they sort of hang that on their shearing shed and say, look, we won at Ag Fair?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they put up the certificates that they receive, and I think it might be some bragging rights between everyone up here as well, which is great. So, they get a lot out of it, and, you know, there's a lot of breeding that goes into a lot of this as well, so, which is fantastic. So,
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That was Kelvin Shelley. He's the Victorian State Manager for AWN, and Tamara Pabst, Wool Technical Officer. Thank you for joining us.
Good on you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And yeah, if you want to go and have a look, if you are here at Ag Fair or you're heading here today, this afternoon or tomorrow, you can see the fleeces in the wool shed here. It's always great to go and have a bit of a look, have a bit of a feel as well, Lily. Like, you can go and check them
Absolutely.
Out. And it's always always great fun. So as I mentioned, we are here at Ag Fair in Broken Hill. It's coming up to 1 o'clock, but we'll be here for a little bit longer this afternoon. I'm heading back to the Eyre Peninsula this afternoon, but Lily's going to be here. Lily, the RFTS ball is on tomorrow night as well, which is always a big thing with Ag Fair.
Yes, absolutely. When I think a lot of people that come up to Ag Fair have the RFTS ball in mind. It's a big calendar event. I think a lot of people from today will be heading to the ball after tomorrow's Ag Fair events. Yeah, really excited. This will be my first ball. I'm going to head there tomorrow, so hopefully meet some people and have a bit of fun.
A lot of firsts for Lily McCure this weekend. So, yeah, it's been great here. The time goes so quickly. I was saying to Lily, you know, we're going to chat to a lot of people, but the time does go very quickly. So it's about time now that we head back to Selena Green. Selena, yeah, we'll chat to you again. We've got some more stories coming from Ag Fair next week on the Country Hour as
well.
Great
to
look
to
forward to that.
And
thanks,
I need
Selena.
To see a photo of Lily. I'm sure she'll be the belle of the ball.
I'm sure she will be.
Yeah. Oh. Now, I need one of you to go and say hello to George the Goat for me. But please don't tell George that we had a text come in with a guess of his weight. And this our texter says well, they reckon that George weighs around 132 curries.
Oh, I'm going to go tell George that.
Oh, I don't feel like that too much.
Poor fella.
Ladies, thanks so much for joining us.
That no, thanks, Selena.
Lily McCure there and Brooke Neindorf coming to you live there from Ag Fair in Broken Hill. And hello to everyone who's heading to Ag Fair today or tomorrow. And, yeah, great chat there with Annabelle earlier that you heard on. We also had a text that said, great to hear young females just getting on with it. She is a real young go-getter. Great to hear from these young people who just, oh, how many strings to her bow, but keen to keep living and working in a rural area, which is fantastic to hear. It's 10 minutes to 1.
This is ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
And you are back with Selena Green on the Country Hour today. With Australia's largest wine-producing region in crisis, growers are abandoning family tradition for in-demand crops like medicinal cannabis. Citrus orchards have been pulled out in the Riverland to plant one of the country's biggest outdoor cannabis crops. The ABC was given exclusive access to see the sun-grown crop during its first harvest. And Eliza Berlage has the story.
Dozens of Pacific Island workers cut leaves and chat under the warm sun as they harvest medicinal cannabis. It's the first crop collected at MedTech Farmer's secure facility in the Riverland. And while it's taken grower Brad Gallard 5 years to get to this point, he's yet to make a cent.
Even though the plant does grow fast, it's been a long journey to get to this point. But exciting now, we're pulling down and we're going all down into the clean rooms and, you know, and preparing the product, ready to be, depacked to go out to pharmacies.
The third generation citrus farmer is convinced swapping the family trade for a multi-million dollar foray into medicinal cannabis will pay off.
The latitude of 34 degrees is really what cannabis does like. There's obviously certain strains that can do colder climates or more humid climates, but they do say where citrus grows, cannabis grows really well too.
For Brad Gallard, the decision to push ahead with a new crop is also a personal one.
My father has Parkinson's disease, my mum had scleroderma and ulcers and tried a bit of the product, just after it was sort of legal and saw a reasonable result for at least a few days. So I thought I'd better look into it.
With the wine industry in crisis due to an oversupply, opportunities to diversify are becoming vital for areas like this. The operation here has now employed 30 staff. Serena Lange was snapped up before she'd graduated from her agribusiness degree.
And was it ever a job you thought about doing growing up?
Absolutely not, but it's very exciting. It's incredibly exciting to move forward in this industry. There's so much learning to be done. It's a constant learning journey, and we're forever experiencing new parts of the process and improving our practices on site.
The company is not only growing cannabis outdoors, It also has indoor rooms and plans to build a lab to develop new strains to grow from seed to shelf. Derek Fitzner is the site manager, and while he's also new to cannabis cultivation, he's warming to it quickly.
These plants are so green and bright and leafy. What's the thermostat read like?
At the moment as we stand here, it's a perfect 24 degrees at about 80% humidity. They're looking nice and green because they've obviously got a really nice balance of all of those elements as well as a nutrient and irrigation regime going on. So, yeah, they're very happy. They've done their job. They've delivered the clone, so to speak. And we're just sort of keeping them in a holding pattern at the moment. So, all's good.
The majority of the plants grown here have what's known as THC cannabinoids, the psychoactive compound, which can be smoked or eaten. The compound called CBD is more commonly used for oils and tinctures, but does not create a high feeling for users.
They are both relevant to the medicinal space.
Australia has one of the fastest growing medicinal cannabis markets in the world, but only about 50 licensed growers. Research scientist and industry advocate Emily Rigby launched the Australian Cannabis Cultivators Group last year to help producers grow the domestic supply.
I think there's a huge potential for us around Australia, and because we're able to provide jobs, I really think we do need to see the government get a little bit more behind the Australian industry to help this emerging industry while we are learning.
Now, with all of his licences in place, Brad Gallard's next step will be to develop the crop from 3 to 10 hectares for next year's harvest.
Yeah, the Australian growing is pretty much gets sold out every year. So we obviously want to be there supporting the patients with Australian grown product. A lot of it is import, as we discussed, over 80%, I believe, at this point in time, mainly from Canada. And they grow a great product. There's no doubt about that. But the Australians are looking for patients are definitely looking for an Australian product, I believe. Sun-grown, if it's organic, it's a solventless base, extraction process as well if we go into an oils or any edibles. We're really going about that sustainability as well on top of, a high-quality medicinal product.
That was MedTech Pharma Managing Director Brad Gallard ending that story from Eliza Berlage. And you can see more on this story if you watch Landline this weekend, or if you miss it, that's okay, because you can catch up on ABC iView as well. So make sure you check it out. And another great reason to catch Landline this weekend is a look at the Port Lincoln diesel debate. Where should and shouldn't it go? Evelyn Leckie will be taking a look on Landline this week at that as well. So make sure you check it out on TV or, as I said, on ABC iView afterwards. Hello to Deb at Warradale, who's just texted in. She says, Ag Fair sounds great. Wish I was there. Me too, Deb. Maybe in a couple of years' time. It's a biennial event, so maybe in a couple of years we'll get to get there.
Here's my top footy tip for the season. You can get your games live and ad-free on the ABC Listen app. I know, right? AFL, NRL, men's, women's. Whatever footy you're after, we've got you covered. Kicks him on the line. Every goal, try, mark and tackle. Called by ABC Sports expert commentary team.
How did he do it? Game, set, bingo.
This season on the home of 100% pure footy, the ABC Listen app.
It is just going on 3 minutes to 1. You're with Selena Green on the Country Hour today, but not for too much longer. Nikolai Ballarhats will be with you for afternoons today. Hello.
Good afternoon. I have a question for you that is not a trick question,
I promise.
Oh, good.
Phew.
If you're doing a puzzle, what's your method? What's your strategy?
Like a jigsaw puzzle?
Jigsaw puzzle.
Corners and anything really obvious to start with.
Yeah, okay. I'm about the same. I go for corners or edges,
mm-hmm.
and then if there's a part of the picture that I can determine that is really obvious, I'll start to try and do that. The reason I ask is because there's a big puzzling competition being held this weekend at Wollonga, and we're going to find out this afternoon about the intriguing world of competitive jigsaw puzzle.
Competitive
completion.
Jigsaw puzzling.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to find out, what's the best pace you can hope for, like how many pieces per minute, and Do they do the same thing as us? Like, do they go edges first, or is that a
some
bit of a
secret to...
That's how that makes it... That's way too easy.
Amateur hour starting at the corners.
Yeah. So I'm very, very curious to find out, because it's one of these things that, you know, from the outside you might go, oh, okay, but when you're in it, it's... I think it's pretty serious.
Oh, so, I'm sure it would be. Mm. Oh, have you ever got one from an op shop?
Lots of them for the kids, and it's really good now. Actually, a lot of op shops will actually say they'll put a little sticker on it saying "all pieces present," so that you know. Or if they're the really good ones, will be honest and say, you know, four pieces missing.
So you don't go and say looking for them.
No, and you know, it's kind of buyer beware, I suppose, a little bit. But so we'll take a look at that this afternoon. We were also going to hopefully. Fingers crossed, at about 2:30 this afternoon, find out about, well, we'll be chatting a little bit earlier, but at about 2:30 this afternoon, this rocket is hoping to be launched at the Canberra Test Range outside Ceduna. So we're going to find out whether it goes ahead or not. Things are looking pretty good at the moment, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed for blast off.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I hope you blast into a great pro... That is a terrible... thank you. Thank you very much.
Very well done.
Did deserve a round of applause. Have a great program, Nicolai Balhart will be with you this afternoon with those great stories and much, much more. I think that's a sign that it's time for me to sign off for the week. I'll be back on Monday at noon for more Country Hour. Thanks so much for your company. It's 1 o'clock and time for the news.
The ABC Listen app means you can take ABC Radio with you to the garden or around the country. Take a bit of home with you, wherever you go.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.